The author, posting on Substack as Signal and Silence, noticed anomalous behavior in a commissary's commercial freezer system. Temperature fluctuations that didn't match any obvious physical cause. Timing patterns that looked like network-triggered events rather than mechanical failures. And a trail of digital artifacts that suggested the building automation system had been. The military commissary freezer story is one of those pieces of writing that earns its readership the hard way, through specificity and honesty about uncertainty. Accessed remotely. They're careful to frame it as a hypothesis rather than a confirmed breach, but the forensic reasoning is methodical.
The reason this lands on HN with 362 points and 200 comments is that it touches a genuinely underappreciated attack surface. Building automation systems, HVAC, refrigeration, lighting controls, have been connected to networks for cost and efficiency reasons for years, often with security practices that lag far behind the systems they're controlling. The Shodan database regularly surfaces internet-exposed building automation interfaces from hospitals, government facilities, and critical infrastructure. Most of them are running firmware that hasn't been updated in years.
What makes the military commissary case specifically interesting is the jurisdictional and investigative complexity. A commercial freezer in a military facility sits at the intersection of the contractor who installed the system, the facility management contractor, the base's IT security team, and potentially military intelligence if foreign involvement is suspected. None of those parties have a clean mandate to investigate the others, which creates exactly the kind of coordination gap that sophisticated attackers exploit.
The HN thread has people debating whether this is a state actor testing military installation access, a criminal operation targeting food supply disruption, or, and this is a serious competing hypothesis, a mundane system malfunction that the author is pattern matching into something more sinister. The comments include several people with industrial control system backgrounds who are pointing out that the specific behavior described could have benign explanations. The uncertainty is the point that ambiguity is itself a feature of a well-executed intrusion.
The GPS jammer story from the Wall Street Journal is the less ambiguous, more structurally alarming counterpart. Cheap GPS jammers, devices that broadcast noise on the GPS frequency band to prevent receivers from locking onto satellites, have become inexpensive enough that they're being used by individuals to evade vehicle tracking, by criminal organizations to interfere with logistics monitoring, and in conflict zones to deny navigation capability to adversaries. The problem is that GPS interference is inherently indiscriminate. A jammer in one truck in a shipping yard can degrade GPS reliability across a radius that includes nearby airports, hospitals, and emergency services.
The Wall Street Journal piece documents specific dead zones that have emerged around ports, logistics hubs, and border regions where jammer use is heaviest. The Federal Communications Commission has authority to prosecute jammer use in the United States, and they do pursue cases, but the enforcement bandwidth is nowhere near equal to the proliferation rate. The devices are manufactured cheaply overseas, sold through gray market channels, and the end-to-end chain from manufacture to use is difficult to trace.
What the HN community is digging into in 146 comments is the systemic dependency problem. GPS has become so embedded in infrastructure. Not just navigation, but timing synchronization for cellular networks, financial transaction timestamping, power grid synchronization, that degraded GPS signal quality in a geographic area has cascading effects that aren't obvious from the outside. A GPS disrupted area might experience cell network degradation, ATM transaction failures, and precision agriculture equipment malfunction simultaneously, with no single system raising an alert that ties it all together.
The smartphone LED hidden camera detection research out of Korea is a clever bit of applied physics that closes the loop on a genuine consumer safety problem. The research, reported by Chasun, demonstrates that a smartphone's LED flash can be used as an active illumination source to detect the retroreflective signature of hidden camera lenses. Camera lenses, even when turned off and unlit, reflect light in a characteristic pattern due to their multi-element optical design. An AI model trained on that reflection signature can distinguish between a camera lens and ordinary reflective surfaces with high accuracy.
The elegance here is that it requires no special hardware every modern smartphone has an LED flash and a camera, and the detection algorithm runs on the phone's existing compute. The practical use case is obvious: hotel rooms, changing rooms, short-term rentals. The 8chan thread is 67 comments and includes both enthusiasm for the privacy protection application and a somewhat sobering observation that the same technique could be inverted. That knowing the detection method exists might incentivize manufacturers of illicit cameras to redesign lens coatings, specifically to evade the reflection signature.
That's the persistent asymmetry in security research. Publishing a detection method both protects people who use it and informs adversaries who build around it. The net effect depends on which population is larger and faster moving, which is almost always unknowable in advance.